Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, friends. You are listening to Metaphysical Media with Stephen Frampton and Stephen Lewis, C2Thieves. I am Stephen Lewis, and I have here with me my good friend and colleague, Stephen Frampton. Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm great, Stephen. Thank you.
I'm glad to hear that. And tonight's topic is the September 11th terrorist attacks of 2001. And we're just going to be looking at that, the event chart for that awful event. Everyone knows when it happened, September the 11th, 2001. And I believe that terrible day got kicked off around 8:46 in the morning. And just the time, the location for that is Manhattan in New York City. And we have, Steve, a chart that has Libra rising, Cancer on the midheaven, Aries descending, and at the nadir of the earth, we have Capricorn. We have cardinal signs on the angles, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't mind kicking off this discussion, I guess, by just sort of just looking at the angles that were rising and culminating and setting and anti-culminating when the precise moment the event happened. Do you mind if I just go ahead and briefly do it? Okay. Well, with Libra rising, first of all, Steve, you know, we talked about Venus and her characteristics being associated with Islam. And, yes. You know, that's kind of a dead ringer there. But, you know, I love to adopt the traditional perspective. And, you know, some of the old guys back in the mists of history, Firmicus Maternus, he associated the Libra ascendant with sickness and dangerous involvement. Believe it or not. He also associated with enemies who are always trying to attack you. Constant lawsuits, he says in his thesis. Constant lawsuits. So, you know, to my thinking, that really not so much describes events, but describes what happens afterward. You know, because when we, you know, applying a template such as this, we're not only considering the moment, the event, but the entire life of this event, the ramifications and consequences of which we're still dealing with today, Steve.
Yes, absolutely. And it's interesting, you know, our discussion just very briefly before the show was about the execution, the murder of the Jordanian pilot, which is horrific. But it shows, doesn't it, that this war on terror, it has not ended. It continues to this very day, and what occurred on 9/11 in 2001 is almost still occurring. The same problem lives on, and I always say, Stephen, that a chart tells a story. In my mind, it's the documentation of a story, and it's a still shot in time. And this chart for 9/11, this event chart, absolutely tells the full story. It's just incredible. And we always say, don't we, that when you study astrology, when you study metaphysics in depth, that you are left with no doubt that there is a divine intelligence, that there's something far smarter than us out there, because the evidence revealed in astrological charts is just astounding. But this one's a fascinating one. I mean, the ascendant, as you said, is Libra, air sign, cardinal air sign, and we've got Mercury exactly on the cusp of the ascendant, and that Mercury is co-ruler of the house of long distance travel, but also Mercury rules travel. So the fact that this involved two airplanes flying into New York is in many ways evidenced by that Mercury in the cardinal air sign on the ascendant. And I was looking, I've spent a lot of time studying this chart, Stephen, and I see that Mercury as an extremely important factor in the chart and the story it tells.
Yes, and not only the story it tells going forward, but also the antecedents to this story as well. You know, 9/11 as everyone knows, didn't just sort of happen spontaneously. There's a backstory leading up to it. And the astrological narrative shown by any event charts also going to deal with those antecedents leading up to the event. I think it's rather telling that the Mercury you mentioned is ruling the ninth house of foreigners and also the 12th house of hidden enemies, you know, and it's angular. So Mercury's angularity being conjunct the ascending degree is going to practically some 12th house event and also some ninth house event. I just think it's so interesting that, you know, thinking about those antecedent events, you know, these are shown by the phases of the slower moving planets, the transits and the synod of Jupiter and Pluto, Saturn and Pluto, Saturn and Neptune, all of these guys, their phases and cycles deal with the roots of this issue going back even into the World War One era and end of the Ottoman Empire and things. So, and also casting forward, looking ahead, many, many different characters and events symbolized by this or that planet. So it's certainly significant that, you know, the world is turning. Some, how many billions of years has the world rotated? And at 8:46 in the morning on September the 11th, the ascending sign, summarizing all of those events, both past and present, is frozen right there, 14 degrees, right on top of Mercury. Could that be a coincidence? I think not. You know, but in dealing with these transits and big phases and important events of the outer planets, I think one of the ones that sort of jumps out at you is the opposition between Saturn and Pluto, which before we kind of get into that, Steve, I just want to say quickly about this Saturn and Gemini, that while he's also trining Mercury, promising a terrible event of the 12th house and 9th house nature or caused by these things, he's also very good for business, believe it or not. There are a few signs that can accommodate Saturn in an economically optimistic context, and Gemini is one of those signs. And so at the same time, it's also saying a terrible event's going to happen, but, you know, the economy could get cranking up because of it too.
Well, yeah, and you know, the World Trade Center was a national asset. It was a symbol of capitalism, and that opposition between Saturn and Pluto that you mentioned is very interesting because Saturn's right on the cusp there of the ninth house of long distance travel, but it's also the house of religion, of philosophy, faith. But I think that the symbolism of Saturn there in Gemini is an extremely important factor in the chart because this was an attack upon the United States, but it was an attack upon capitalism. It was an attack upon business. And, you know, it was a successful attack. And I think that the success of it is partly described by Jupiter at the midheaven. And that Jupiter at the midheaven in this chart is really, really interesting because Jupiter is such an important symbol in the U.S. chart because we've got the Sun conjunct Jupiter in the U.S. natal chart and also the Sibley chart. It's the ascendant ruler of the U.S. So having that Jupiter up there, the abundance of Jupiter up there, exalted in Cancer at the midheaven, reflecting our capitalism, our focus upon business and the economy, which is absolutely, or was absolutely, one of the targets, one of the resentments. But having that Mars there in the third house near travel nearby, that tells part of the story as well, because at that Mars is an attack, it's aggression, it's exalted in Capricorn, it's very effective Mars, the job was done. And where did it happen? It happened here at home. And I think that Jupiter at Cancer at the midheaven is symbolic of it occurring at home, but then that Mars in the third house, in my mind, is also telling us part of the story and telling us that the attack would take place right at our doorstep, in effect.
Yes, you know, the interesting, the having Cancer on the midheaven like that. I think that's one of those factors that sort of adds some magnitude to the event itself. You know, I think this is what Firmicus would have called this. He said it predicts famous deeds. You know, so that's one reason why I think that this is responsible. One of the factors, not the sole factor, one of the factors responsible for the intensity and the grandiosity, the bigness of the event, especially with Jupiter there, and especially with Jupiter rather close to the midheaven degree. It's kind of walking the line there. And it's a complex symbol, equally pertaining to our opponents as it does to us. You know, Jupiter in Cancer is certainly a symbol redolent of Uncle Sam. You know, it's not so far away from its own natal position, and it's not far away from the natal position of the sun in the American birth figure. So it's redolent with meaning, you know, but also I think it's representing sort of a hyperinflated nationalism, both on the part of the assailants and on the part of the American people after the attack occurred. You know, so without doubt, that's one of the factors that's making the event terrible. You know, but it's so interesting, Steve, looking at Saturn and Gemini there. I'm looking at the symbol for Gemini, and it looks like two towers. And I know Saturn means rejection or denial of something. So very baldly, that particular symbol is saying no more twin towers for you. We're denying the twin towers. And Saturn is actually in the term or the boundary of Venus, kind of hinting or implying who the culprits may have been. Venus, or money, you know, she can equally be both.
I love your mention of that Saturn symbolism, Stephen, Saturn and Gemini, because Gemini is the twins, and we all talk about the twin towers. So
yeah.
That's a really interesting point. There are so many things that are fascinating about this chart. And you mentioned Venus and Islam. Well, the ascendant's Libra, so Venus is the ruler of the ascendant, although, as we've said, we've got planet Mercury right there on the cusp. Where we got Venus in this chart, in a fixed fire sign, it's the determined, bold, very public Venus. So obviously this event is one that we'll always remember. It's come down in history as an extremely important occurrence. But you've got there Venus in bold, determined Leo in the 10th house, right on center stage. And that tells part of the story as well, particularly when you see that it's got that very strong opposition to Uranus, the radical element, but also Uranus under its own sign is effective under its own sign in modern astrology, the sign of Aquarius. And I think that opposition, on the one hand, refers to the determination of radical Islam from 9/11, but also the opposition between Venus and Leo and Uranus in Aquarius, our determination to evolve, to introduce new technologies, etc., things that that many people in these extreme factions are against. But the opposition of Uranus to Venus, the ascendant ruler, is another sign that this would be catastrophic for the entity in question. And also, interestingly, we've got that Uranus on the cusp of the fifth house, which is very much involved with the stock markets and speculation, etc. So this is a fascinating chart because it really does tell the story, you know?
Yes, the Uranus in the air signs, if you ask me, is particularly malefic for certain things, especially for war. Uranus has never transited Gemini without causing war for the United States of America. And right now it's in Aries, so it takes about 7 years or so, I think, to get to a sign. So we're probably looking at a good 14 to to 20 years before it's in Gemini. So it's when it gets there, you can count on a few things. Number one, war, famine, disaster, real fire and brimstone type stuff, to quote one of my favorite characters from Ghostbusters. It's not going to be pretty. But here, he's in Aquarius, an air sign, not Gemini, an air sign, though. So I'm kind of suspicious of Uranus in Aquarius. Now, Venus in Leo, definitely well spotted, Steve. That Venus in Leo, for sure, you know, she's going to represent a lot of things, not to mention the claim, American apocalyptic claim, falling upon Muslims in Afghanistan and Iraq. But also money spent on war. You know, so these are from the 11th house characteristics of Venus. You know, the 10th house is the White House, pretty much. And the 11th house is the funds of the White House, which are the funds of the American people. And Venus is there, meaning she's going to be good for any kind of fiduciary matter. So she's going to represent a lot of economic activity because of this, because of what's happening described by this chart. And, you know, it's a lot of oppositions in this chart, numerous oppositions, Venus and Uranus, Mars and the Moon. It's an out-of-sign opposition, but it's within orb there, you know. Saturn and Pluto, that's probably the one that actually brought the towers down, you know. Pluto is very obviously against Gemini and all the things represented by Gemini, including the two towers, you know, very mm-hmm. much against. And Pluto is a powerful planet. You know,
well,
notice
this is the modern planet of death. So you've got the modern planet of death, Pluto, in opposition to the ancient planet of death, Saturn.
Pluto is going to bring to the surface, like a boil, bad things that are fit for being transformed or purged out of the organism, so that the organism will become something entirely new. That's what the cycle represents between Saturn and Pluto, even all the other planets with Pluto. And in that sense, we see this phase of the cycle between Saturn and Pluto is representing an extreme purgative. In fact, the opposition is the culmination of the entire cycle. The idea of Saturn conjunct Pluto, when Saturn was conjunct Pluto, there was an idea. That conjunction represented a theme, a motif that was elaborated upon at the square of Saturn and Pluto, at the trine, the sextile, etc., of Saturn and Pluto, getting more optimistic. Okay, so when Saturn and Pluto were conjunct, as Saturn, because it's faster, as it's moving to sextile, square, you know, trine, and then close that in a sextile, and then finally oppose. This is a very optimistic expression of the meaning of the conjunction. There's an air of optimism, but when Saturn is waning and incoming and closing in to conjunct Pluto again, that entire part of the cycle is not quite so optimistic. In fact, it's the exact opposite, and describes the atmosphere that we lived in post 9/11. But without doubt, this opposition represents the expression of the idea of the cycle. And, you know, that's another factor that we could say, hey, this bigs up this particular event chart and distinguishes it from some other type of event and makes it, you know, something like two huge towers coming down and 3,000 people dying and a decade-long war, that's all that stuff.
And it's also an attack on our status, an attack on what we represent. And you have this T-square between Pluto and Saturn, as you said, but in the bends of that opposition, forming the T-square, is the Sun. Right on the Sun, which is the ruler of Venus in the chart, but it's also right on the cusp of the House of Disappointments, the 12th. And I found it, Stephen, really interesting. I was just reflecting upon the chart, and I was looking at the seventh house and considering the fact that that is ruled by Mars because it's under the sign of Aries. So you've got here an open enemy, seventh house, executing an attack, Mars, upon us, affecting not only the lives of many people, but also affecting business, an attack on the economy or capitalism. Mars in Capricorn, right here at home, third house next to the fourth. It's just incredible, isn't it? When you take the symbols and you translate them into the story being told, you couldn't make this up. You couldn't create this astrologically. It's incredible.
Mars in Capricorn is exalted, you know, it's very, and representing our enemies would indicate an enemy who is rather organized and is in fact quite famous throughout he's a famous example of his kind. So this is I think that fits Osama bin Laden as a Robin Hood figure amongst certain types of Muslims. The exaltation of Mars in Capricorn is certainly appropriate for Osama bin Laden. Certainly appropriate for Osama bin Laden. His conjunction with the South Node, you know, kind of removes him from proximity to the towers. But also, he's in conjunct Gemini. He's not in touch with Saturn in Gemini. Saturn in Gemini, to me, kind of has the feel of someone like Muhammad Atta, the senior pilot. Certainly the multiplicity of Gemini refers to the fact that there are obviously multiple offenders in this attack. But Saturn's in the house. He's the one closest to the quadrant cusp of it. He dominates that house. That's Muhammad Atta, without doubt. The moon in Gemini, in the term of Saturn, certainly represents the American people having to do without towers because of Saturn. But it also would probably represent Al-Shehi, one of the sidekicks to Muhammad Atta. Oh, certainly Saturn and the moon would be the two leaders of whatever band of thugs decided to hurt the World Trade Center. But the sun is interesting, Steve, because, to me, not only does the sun represent an important hidden enemy, but because the sun brings illumination and it's in the 12th house, it says that all of the stuff that we needed to know would come out later. You know what I mean? It would be illuminated. There would be an investigation. And we would find great technical acumen behind it. That's symbolized by the cusp of the 12th being in Virgo.
I think as well that that Mercury at 14 degrees ruling the 12th house is also symbolic of the smoke and mirrors around the whole 9/11 event. And all of the different theories about exactly what went on, exactly what went on, and the fact that we may never know, and we probably never will know the full story, because that Mercury rules the 12th house. But also, I like to look at the nodes, and the Mars in Capricorn, this very effective attack, is actually conjunct the South Node. And that was that is an enormous sign of danger in the chart, particularly because Mars was opposing the moon, and as you said, the moon is the American people. So it just goes on and on. And I like, you mentioned, Stephen, considering the chart, considering the aspects, or certainly the aspects between the slow moving planets, and how we need to place that in the context of the overall cycle that occurs over a much longer period of time. And that's certainly the case. To get more of the story, you have to look at those cycles and look at other charts. But I was looking at the US chart, and I think it was the Sibley chart or the Regulus chart that I was looking at. And in the sixth house, of health or particular hazard of illness, generally when we're looking at people, you've got Uranus and Mars, radical attack in the air, Gemini, against the Twin Towers. Gemini is actually labeled in the U.S. charts.
Oh, for sure. We were having also at the time a ninth house year, highlighting foreigners, highlighting also taking a sabbatical from something, highlighting also the fact that the ninth house, and the ninth house and the event chart being Gemini, us having a ninth house year, all of the symbolic characteristics of Gemini that we just spoke about. So the event you know, sort of triggered by these things. This was a fuse, a triggering of the event. You know, as soon as the Earth's rotation, as soon as the outer, slower moving planetary alignment fell into place, these are like the big hands on a clock. Then the rotation of the Earth brought the ninth house over to the proper place. Okay, that's a kind of like a smaller hand, a minute hand or something. Then we have the moon passing over the body of Saturn. Okay, that's another very important triggering factor. But the big trigger was Mercury. As soon as the ascending degree in Libra hit Mercury's body by degree, boom, powder keg moment. If we were like astrologers trying to time this out, you know, and at the time I was too young to appreciate how to do this astrologically, how to time. The only astrologer I know of who mentioned anything even remotely like this in advance is the great Robert Zoller. But there could have been others. I just don't know about them. But my point is that astrologers forecasting this would have been well within their rights, very reasonably could have seen that, hey, you know, when Mercury is exactly trine Saturn, and as soon as he's conjunct the right ascending degree, boom, something huge will happen. And indeed, that's the way it goes. But, you know, the Aries descendant, the seventh house Aries that you referenced earlier, it also has a strong predictive quality in the sense that it indicates the crisis that comes afterwards, the constant danger, and the continual anxiety that would fall over the American people after this event.
Absolutely. I was looking again at the nodes, Stephen, and, you know, when you look at this chart, the event chart, and you see that north node at 3 degrees Cancer, and then you pull the U.S. natal chart, and you see Venus, as you said, one of the things it symbolizes is Islam. Well, when you overlay this chart, the event chart, on the U.S. chart, you find that north node at 3 degrees Cancer here in the event chart, the impact that very much affected regular people, the moon, that's right on top of Venus in the U.S. natal chart. The Venus is at 3 degrees Cancer in the U.S. natal chart, and it's in opposition to the ascendant. And when we navigate our way through an event chart into other related charts, we see such a fascinating story. You know, even I noted that Venus in the U.S. chart is at 15, and again, I think it was Sibley chart I was looking at, is at 15 degrees Leo, so it's in the U.S. house of death. But there are all kinds of other symbols, because that Mercury at 14 degrees Libra in this event chart is conjunct natal Saturn in the U.S. chart. It's like a kaleidoscope. It's fascinating, and I said before, Stephen, and we've discussed this on the air many times. We really want to be able to contribute in future and provide information that could avert tragedy. And if you had enough time on your hands, you could spot this kind of thing. Because if we'd looked at the U.S. chart, and we'd looked at eclipses, and even looked at potential targets, if we'd looked at the Twin Towers chart, we would have seen that this was absolutely written in the stars.
Yeah, I don't think the government would have listened to you, but you couldn't hurt to tell them. Unfortunately, the governments in the West have been warned, thanks to astrologers, for just about every impending disaster before it happens, Steve. And you know what? The response is consistent. Don't bother us, or don't call us, we'll call you. So, you know what I mean? I'm very skeptical about the government ever wising up on these matters. And more's the pity. Really, it is. More is the pity. But look at the nadir, Steve, the Imam Chaley, the fourth house in Capricorn. I mean, seriously, when you look at that, you got to think, man, what were the insurance settlements like for this event? You know what I mean? Capricorn.
Oh, it was paid twice. There were two policies that paid out in full.
Well, I think Capricorn is, you know, having the fourth house in Capricorn, I think, is an obvious indication of what the insurance to the New York City economy, to global stock prices, and not to mention the trillions that would come from the Iraq War and the war in Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? All of that is, to me, shown in the sign of Capricorn. Firmicus says that those with 4th house in Capricorn will have a fluctuating sort of prosperity. The whole income, he says, will be gained through his own efforts. In the last period of life, he'll have the greatest prosperity. So what this means is that in the initial stages, it seems as if the prosperity is kind of bad. But I'm thinking that once the war economy started really picking up, then some people they stood to make quite a bit of money off.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that war is extremely profitable. If you're in the business of selling large reconstruction contracts and military equipment, weaponry, then there need to be wars, sadly.
Now, I'm going to point something else out real fast, Steve, that I think is pretty interesting because, you know, in the American Nativity, Pluto is retrograde, and I've always brought up the notion of retrogradation meaning repetition somehow. Every time I see a retrograde planet, I ask myself, is it possible that what this planet represents could be repeated or could be iterative somehow, repetitive? And looking at the event chart, Steve, I have to notice that we have a recapitulation of Pluto's position. Here, Pluto, in the American Nativity, Pluto is in the second quadrant house. And in the event chart, Pluto is also in the second quadrant house. I find that to be highly telling. This capitulation of, it's a different sign, but it's the same quadrant house in the event chart. I find that significant. And it's in a sextile to Mercury, too. I think the fact that Mercury was carrying, at 12 degrees Libra, Mercury sextile Pluto, just like charged him. You know what I'm saying? Now Mercury is pregnant with Plutonian power and Saturnian toxicity. And it just made him a much more lethal trigger, Steve.
There's a lot in this chart as well about values and about us versus them, or them versus us, whichever way you want to put it. Because having the ascendant in Libra opposing the descendant in Aries, in my view, it's very symbolic of you versus me.
Yeah.
And that's very telling in the chart, particularly when you see that you, the others, the seventh house is ruled by this very effective Mars under the sign of Capricorn. It's very, very interesting. But
yeah.
I was looking as well at the eclipses, Stephen, because I find it so interesting to see what information the eclipses are giving us as they occur. And, in 2001, it was June of 2001, we had an eclipse that was more powerful than any eclipse of the 20th century. An incredibly powerful eclipse. And when you look at where it was occurring, it was giving us warning signs. It occurred on the cusp of the U.S. House of Wealth, national wealth, very near to the South Node. So that eclipse indicated that there was an event that would be extremely unfortunate for the United States and, in effect, for the global economy, and that our national, our wealth would be targeted. But that same eclipse is extremely prominent in the Twin Towers chart, because the Twin Towers had a chart. We know exactly when it was opened, when the ribbon-cutting ceremony was. And as I said, that eclipse was very, very prominent in the Twin Towers chart. And it was an eclipse. One of the reasons it was so powerful is because it was at 0 degrees of Cancer. So when you have an eclipse at 0 degrees of a cardinal sign, you're looking at a pretty powerful eclipse. And there were other factors that made it powerful. But that eclipse at 0 degrees of Cancer in June of 2001 was right on top of the ascendant in the Twin Towers chart. But even when you just look at the U.S. chart, it was so prominent. It was screaming out that there was a devastating event occurring. And then when you actually look at the moment of the event, you see that transiting Mars was stimulating an extremely important point in the other charts. So I just find it interesting because it's almost as if you take different charts, you're looking at a situation from different angles and getting a huge amount of information.
Yeah, I'll tell you what disturbs me, Steve, is looking at this chart. I'm not sure how we're doing on time. Actually, I think we're good.
We've got 15 minutes or so.
Oh, good, good. Plenty of time for me to point this out. I think this is what disturbs me, okay? Because looking at the fourth house, that shows the outcome of this entire situation. And, you know, if you look at the fourth house in isolation, then I'm very disturbed about what sort of outcome it suggests. The financial ramifications of Capricorn we've just discussed, these are both good and bad financial ramifications. Bad in the sense that the event was a huge loss, but good economically in the sense that we had a war economy to pick up after that. However, Capricorn is ruled by Saturn, so once the event happens, the outcome is going to be Saturn in Gemini. If Gemini is business, Saturn is a denial of that. And again, this is a foreign. This is overseas. This is a ninth house thing, right? So Saturn just hurt us here on our territory. Now Saturn's going to turn around. Saturn in Gemini is going to also represent the destruction overseas.
Really well spotted, because the chart certainly says that very clearly.
Oh man, just gotten started, Steve, because there's a circuit of causality here that actually winds up in a loop. And that's the part that disturbs me, the loop part of it, because it predicts a certain, well, it's a loop, for Christ's sake. It'll go on forever, you know what I'm saying, until some bright titian says, okay, we've had enough, we're going to cut the loop and interrupt it. So Saturn rules the end of the matter, Capricorn. Saturn's in Gemini, Saturn is going to activate the moon, the people, great suffering to business, great suffering to any sort of community and civilization as represented by all the air signs. Now, Mercury rules Saturn, so when this Saturn energy is activated, that's automatically going to activate Mercury in Libra, which is going to activate the Sun in Virgo. Do you see the enchainment of rulerships? The Sun is going to activate Venus in Leo, which is going to activate the Sun again, which is ruled by Mercury, which is going to activate Mercury again, and you know the chain, that's the loop. Mercury to the Sun, to Venus, back to the Sun, and then back to Mercury again, and then back to Venus. That's the loop. And now, here's what it means. You know, Venus in Leo, obvious. Money spent on war. We still haven't stopped spending money on the war effort versus some Muslim entity or the other. Also, burning Muslims, like literally burning Muslims. Mm-hmm. We've had plenty of that. Way too much of that, excessive amounts, unholy amounts of that, way too much of it. And then after that comes the Sun, because Venus is in Leo and ruled by the Sun. The Sun is the investigation. There's a probe. Abu Ghraib, sure, let's, you know what I mean? Some sort of a gate, you know. And then because the Sun's in Virgo, it activates Mercury. Mercury in Libra. Mercury is going to throw money at the issue, and we're going to have more Venus in Leo. Then another Sun in Virgo type of event. So that's the loop I was talking about as a result of the fourth house dynamics of this one chart.
Yes, and sadly, we know today of all days that this hasn't ended. But, you know, I think when you look at the natal chart, and as you said, the ending, the icy, the Uranquele ruled by Saturn, says, you know, that this is not going to end well. I wouldn't choose to have Saturn as the ending of the particular story, because it suggests that there's, you know, it ends very badly. And you know, I liked your interpretation of Venus in Leo, Stephen, because today this Jordanian pilot was burned to death.
Yeah.
And this great tragedy continues. This great tragedy goes on. The ending was Saturn in Gemini, war in the air.
Yeah, Saturn is extremely offensive, and I'll tell you something, man. When I heard about what happened to that poor pilot, I was thoroughly offended by that. I mean, offended, not so much disgusted, but offended at what they did to that young man.
Yeah.
And I hope there's going to be significant punishment for them because of that. I hope for that dearly. And you know, I'm here in North Carolina, you know, that's over there. King Abdullah, you know, that's his affair. and I trust that he knows how to sort it out. So.
Well, the Jordanian people are on the streets saying that they expect a heavy price to be paid.
Yeah, let's just say I wouldn't want to be an Islamic State prisoner in Jordan right about now, Steve. If I were an Islamic State prisoner in Jordan right now, I would go ahead and draft my last will and testament.
Yeah.
So thank God I'm not.
Thank God.
I'm a Christian astrologer in North Carolina. Yes,
they're
sir.
Going to hit ISIS hard as well from the air.
That's some of that Venus and Leo in both senses, burning Muslims and, you know, money spent on war. So, you know, the financial ramifications of this chart are just absolutely excessive. Absolutely excessive, both for good and for bad. And that's also shown by that second house, Pluto, the second quadrant house. You know, I wish we had more time to do a proper house delineation of this chart because there's, you know, some overlay, but we've definitely covered the salience here. And this chart will show us how to recognize signs of terrorism. Again, you know, the air signs are highly accentuated and rendered highly malefic. Pluto is in a bad way. Venus is almost always going to be significant in these things somehow. So it's a warning and a red flag, and we've definitely learned the lesson. As astrologers.
There's a lot in this chart about ideology as well, because the ninth house is packed. Saturn, Jupiter, the moon, the north node. And this is largely about ideology, about how we should or should not function, how society should or should not be organized. And so I was interested to also look at the chart in terms of the symbols relating to the fact that this is about ideology.
It definitely. And in fact, it's about two ideologies. You know, Gemini is sort of inherently bifurcated. All of the mutable signs are referred to as being double-bodied. And so this tells the story of two warring ideologies, and a Christian or westernized, and I don't even want to call it Christian because most Western ideology is absolutely incompatible with Christian theology and doctrine. So this is more of a Western capitalistic permissiveness, you see. It's as much the consumption, the liberality and the excessive sexuality, et cetera, that's part of the ideology, versus the other ideology, and a puritanical ideology rooted on Wahhabi Islam, Salafist Islam, which is a brand of Islam, not at all dissimilar to some of the more toxic conservative brands of Christianity. And the only difference being that they are just, they go overboard to a wilder magnitude. And they are, in fact, policy in many Arabic nations, as opposed to being fringe elements over here. The War of Two Philosophies, Steve, Gemini, in the night.
Yes. Yeah, I was intrigued as well because obviously Saturn in Gemini up in the ninth house, there's a problem in the air, but then the opposition to Pluto is an indication of death by fire as well because Pluto is in Sagittarius, fire sign, mutable fire sign. But then also it came, you know, it was an event that also occurred on the land because two buildings were involved and. That's also delineated in the chart by Capricorn and I think even the sun in Virgo to an extent. And you know, death on the land, the eighth house is ruled by Taurus. Taurus is associated with land, the earth, and even the symbols of fire, air, earth are plastered all over this chart. And the chart's got five planets in air and the ascendants. I think anybody looking at this in advance would have said, oh, something happens in the air, but hopefully they would have said there's going to be fire, and also this does affect people on the land.
Well, for sure. You know, and it's interesting that, you know, Sagittarius is it's a fire sign, but I always associate Sagittarius especially as being related to aviation, you know. Not just commercial flight, but also space exploration. It's the urge to explore that makes me associated with aviation, and also the fact that I learned it from a whole bunch of other mundane astrology textbooks. And Pluto there is obvious, but interestingly enough, Pluto's position in the event chart at 12 degrees Sagittarius is in a fairly close semi-square to its natal position at 27 Capricorn, you know, thus exacerbating some of those natal meanings in this event chart. Now, natally, Pluto is the second house entity in the American horoscope, and second house, as we've talked on a number of different occasions, by derived house meanings, represents the death of others, the death of seventh house personages, because the second house is the eighth from the seventh. If you put your finger on the seventh house and count in the order of the signs, when you get to the second house, counting the sign, when you get to the eight signs away, it'll be the second sign from the rising sign. So the house of finances for the ascendant is actually the house of death for the seventh house. Pluto is there. That's obvious. Pluto in the earth sign, in a morbid type of understanding of that sort, is going to refer to people who die in the collapsing of the towers and things of that nature, people who die from collision impact. And, of course, Pluto in the fire sign in the event chart, and interestingly enough, in the Sibley American chart, their ascendant at 12 Sagittarius exactly conjunct the position of Pluto in the event chart. You know, but this, I think, would deal more with the fiery types of deaths. Morbid stuff. Terrible, terrible, terrible stuff.
The chart even shows us that the perpetrators would die.
Okay.
I often look at it, when you're looking at an individual's chart and you're considering whether they may be responsible for their own death, it's interesting to see if there's a significant aspect between the ruler of the ascendant and the ruler of the eighth house of death. And in this house, it's Venus, because you've got an ascendant in Libra and then the eighth house in Taurus. So it also tells us that the perpetrators would die in the process, which they did.
Yeah, interestingly enough, some of the older authorities associated Libra rising with suicide. They, for that same exact reason, because the ascendant ruler is also Venus is also the ruler of the house of death, and they said, and I forget who said, I think it was actually Julius from Firmicus, said that it comes about because of Venusian characteristics. In other words, he doesn't imply that the person actually like kills himself on purpose, but kills themselves through fornication or intoxication, things of that nature. Venusian indulgences dies from that reason. You know, very, very, very interesting stuff. But I think we probably have to be coming into the final stretches of this here race car race.
Yes, we've got 5 minutes. So we need to make our closing points and then our other points about websites, etc.
Ah, very good, very good. Well, I'm actually, I've made my closing point there. That's, wish we had more time to talk about this chart. I go into a little bit more detail. But as a sort of a snapshot of what we should look out for in terms of, as a reference of for future American terrorist event, very educational to astrology.
It is. It really is. And, you know, just to go back to that Mars ruling the seventh house, Stephen, it says to me that our business would be attacked, Mars in Capricorn,
sure,
near to us, third house, because of our values, Mars, which is co-ruler of the second house of values in the chart. I know that, you know, that the second house is not the only part of the chart that references values, but this chart also says, and over this we're prepared to kill Scorpio, your people, Moon, in the air, Gemini, on a long-distance flight, ninth house, humiliating your leadership. Saturn in Gemini squaring the Sun on the cusp of the 12th house. It's just, it's mind-blowing. And I wish we had 5 hours to work on this one, because there's so much to it. But you make a really important point, which is that we need to consider these dynamics. Consider those cycles, as you said at the beginning of the show, and if possible, identify when the risks are particularly high in future.
It's so true, and you actually, as far as I'm concerned, that the observation about the World Trade Center chart, for me, was quite moving and definitely sort of like, dropping the gavel on this, you know what I mean? It definitely points to the nature of the event. I wish we had more time to go into that chart, but I'm a little unfamiliar with that, Steve, but when you told me about it, I was very, very blown away, especially with the eclipse information. So that was I'm glad you were able to bring that up also and have that as a factor on our judgment as well, Steve.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And I think actually, Stephen, that the discipline of a one-hour show at times forces us to really organize the information that we want to deliver and get it all out there effectively in the hour. And, you know, as you said, we could spend forever looking at 9/11. We could spend hours and hours poring over one chart. But
hey, Saturn's a good thing.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, so I was just going to say Saturn's a good thing. We got to have restriction and organization. And you know what? Evil needs its virtues as well. And in the event chart, Steve, Saturn is a daytime Saturn, very organized, very knowledgeable. You know, so Saturn is such a complex. We'll have to do a show just on Saturn one of these days, man.
Well, we did say, and we should mention to people, that we do want to do a show focused specifically on each planet. So we'll have a show on Mercury, a show on Saturn, as you said, and I think that will be a really great series of shows, really educational, really fun for us to do. So we've just got a couple of minutes left for closing, Stephen. I think, actually, I'm doing the closing, aren't I?
Yeah. Why don't you remind everybody what wonderful people we are?
I was forgetting. I don't know why in my mind I was thinking that you were doing the closing. But, yeah, it was a great show. Thank you, Stephen, for all of your incredible input and your knowledge, particularly of the ancient techniques, traditional astrology. That is really very interesting. But for all of you out there listening, remember that our show is available each week. And all of these shows are archived on Blog Talk Radio, but they're also available on YouTube. You can look for our YouTube channel, Metaphysical Media. And if you would like to visit Stephen's website, which I recommend that you do, his website is thegingerpsychic.com. And there are brilliant blogs and all kinds of great resources on there. You can also contact him to book a session and get the level and depth of insight that he's able to provide on all these subjects that we cover in our radio shows. Get that information for yourself and your life so that you're more empowered and you have information that can enable you to embrace harmony, avoid some of the challenges that may be on the horizon. And you can visit my website, Stephen Frampton. It's Stephen with a V, Frampton, Frampton.com. I have lots of good information there as well. And we're going to be working shortly on the Metaphysical Media website that will be available for everybody as well. So that's everything I want to say, Stephen. I hope that our listeners join us again next week, that they send those archives out to their friends. We want people to really benefit from the information we share. I'm going to hand back over to you briefly, Stephen, just to say your goodbye.
Well, just want to say thanks a lot for all of your brilliant insight as well, Steve. I enjoyed this show as much as could be possible given the subject matter, and recommend everyone to visit StephenFrampton.com to pick up a copy of Thinking Completely Outside the Box, and also to book a session with Steve, who is a psychic medium as well as an astrologer. Very powerful combination. And have a great week, everyone.